We're in business.
Okay. All right. So then, according to Rav Shua ben Levi, if you can finish your Shmoneh Esrei before the Chazan reaches Kedusha, then you should begin. But if you see that you'll never make Kedusha together with the congregation in that particular case, don't begin the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei by yourself until after Kedusha has been recited. All right. Now, we know that this in general is the practice, okay? I mentioned already once before, I don't remember when, that the problem is, what happens if you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and the Chazan begins, you know, to do the Chazoras HaShas? What should you do at that particular point? Now, this is one of the things that we'll discuss in just a couple of minutes. But I just want to remind you of a din that I already mentioned at that time. Namely, if you can finish Shmoneh Esrei, that is when you say Baruch Atah Hashem on Baruch Ma'isav HaShalom before Kedusha, then you don't have to say Elokai Nitzor, and you don't have to say Yehi Rotzon or anything like that. The only thing you should try to catch in is to say Yehi Rotzon in Repi, Ve'gun Fenech HaShem Tzuri Gali, and that's it, okay? You said that, you already finished with the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei, technically. The rest, as we learned, I mean, this is private prayer that we have, okay? So if you can do that, then you do that. Others will say, all right, even if you miss Nekarei Shashim Kolo Elam, just hear the Chazan say it, but if you can come in to Kadosh, 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 then in that particular case, do so. Okay? And, you know, say the Shmoneh Esrei together with him. And if, as I said before, let's say, you know, you rush through to say Hamvarech Meisur Vashalom, and you then said Kedusha with the Yelam, do you have to repeat Elokai Nitzor and Yehi Rotzon? The answer is no, you're not required to, because you have said the essential part of the Shmoneh Esrei. You've already completed that. So the other part, I mean, we say is private prayer, but it does not have to be recited in case where you have to catch up so that you can be together with the congregation for Kedusha. Okay?
What happens if you're, yeah, if, let's say you're a slow davener,
right,
and the chazan starts to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei,
yeah,
and you're halfway through the Shmoneh Esrei,
okay,
and then then he starts to say the Kedusha, what do you do?
Good. This is one of the things we're going to discuss right now.
Okay.
What do we do? Okay? All right. And for that reason, I want to go over not only what the Gemara, what they're doing here, but there's a great big Tosfos over there,
okay,
that you see over there. And we'll see what Tosfos has to say on that subject, okay? Maybe we won't do the entire Tosfos, but we'll do part of the Tosfos. But, you know, at least we'll get to the kernel, you know, of what the Tosfos wants to talk about. Okay. Let me first finish the text over here.
Okay.
All right. So he says, right, that if he can begin and finish by the time that the Chazan reaches Kedusha, then he's Palel. He should say Shmoneh Esrei. The Im Lav, but if he can't do it, he knows he can't do it, then Al Yispalel. In that case, he shouldn't say Shmoneh Esrei. Okay? All right. So now the question is, my Komi Pligay, what is the difference of opinion between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says, you know, don't start if he can't reach Kedusha, whereas what was said before by Rav Kuna said, you know, that don't start if you can't reach
modim,
which of course is a much later point in the doctrine,
right.
Okay? So obviously there has to be a difference of opinion between the two. Otherwise the two of them would have been in agreement that you don't begin davening if you can't reach this point or that
right
point. Right. Okay? So he says, Mar Sovar Yochid Emekadusha, Mar Sovar and Yochid Emekadusha. So one authority holds that the private individual can say the Kedusha. In other words, instead of saying what we do, Ato Kodesh Shibcha Kodesh, if he's not davening by, you know, he's not davening with a minyan,
yeah,
you understand? He holds too that an individual, even if he's davening, you know, by himself, can say the complete Kedusha. This is his opinion. Well, we don't follow that opinion.
No, right? I think so.
Yeah, well, Mar Sovar and the other authority said, Ein Yochid Emei Kedusha, that the individual does not say Kedusha. Okay? Okay. Let me just do a couple of lines further.
Okay.
V'chein amar Rabbeinu bar Ahava, And likewise, Rav Adwa, the son of Ahava, said, "Binayin sheina yochid imel kedusha." How do we know that the individual is not beside kedusha, not the tzibur, but the individual? Shenemar, because we have a pasuk which says, "V'nigdashti b'seif v'nayisrael," that God says, "I will be sanctified in the midst of the children of Israel." Okay. Called the Odova Shepikdusha, this is a very basic rule that whatever thing in the davening has a special character of Kedusha, of sacredness attached to it, lo yehei pochus me'asorah, then in that case it should not be recited where there are less than 10 people over there. Okay? We'll come back to this too in a moment. My mashma. Now, how does he derive that? He says, "Gatli Rabbanai, achuha de Rabbi Chiya bar Abba." He says, "Rabbanai, the brother of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, Asya toich toich." He gets it through what we call a gezeila shav. In other words, if you have a similarity of expressions, so what applies in situation A automatically also goes over to situation B. Now, it has to be based on a similarity of wording, okay? But, as I already said many, many times, a Gezeira Shava works only if there is a tradition that this is a true Gezeira Shava. It doesn't work on the basis that I simply take two words, put them together and say, look, it says this and this, this, and automatically I say, no, there has to be a tradition for it, okay? All right, but it's one of the ways, you know, in which we interpret the Torah. All right, so, we've already learned what? The Nigdashti B'sof B'nai Yisrael, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, this is a pasuk in Yecheskel, he says that I will be sanctified, or I shall sanctify myself in the midst, the Soich, B'nai Yisrael, children of Israel. B'chasiv Hosom, and it's written in the case of Korach, it's written over there that what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to the people of Israel? He said to them, Hibodlu mitoich reidoh hazos, separate yourselves from mitoich, from the midst of this congregation. Of course, I want to point out that there is another interpretation we learned a long time ago. How do we know that an Edah, in other words, that a minyan requires 10? He based it on a different. There was a different drash, a different Gezeira Shava. There it was based upon the word Edah,
which is
Edah means literally congregation. Okay? Now, there we learn that Admosai Loedo Horahazois, how long shall I tolerate, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, this evil congregation? And this was in reference to the 10 spies who came back with an evil report. From this he learned that since the Edo Horah, the evil congregation consisted of 10 people, so from this we learn that also an Edo for a mitzvah also consists of 10 people. Okay, you have to have a minion in order to do it. This is how we learn the fact that there are 10 to a minion. All right. Now, what this Gezeira Shava is teaching us is not the number that is required, although that we understand. That we already learned, in other words, from the other one, okay? That we require 10. But here, the fact that for a Dovo Shevi Kedusha, whatever has a sacred character about it in the davening, especially sacred tzarek, okay? The whole davening should be sacred. But still, we know that certain parts are more sacred than others, okay? So, that particular thing also requires B'sof B'nei Yisrael. So, he gets it on the basis of the fact that the word toch occurs Hibodlu mitocho Edah Hazos, right? Separate yourselves from this Edah. And the fact that the word tov v'nikdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael. So this is how he got it on that basis. Mala halo nasoro. Just as in the case of the latter that we quoted, in other words, in Bogle Metoch Eidah Azot, there were 10 spies who were involved, right? So we know, therefore, afkan asoro. So also in the case of Dovah Shevi Kedusha, right, we require 10. Okay? All right, guns fine. But nevertheless, according to all authorities, nevertheless, he says, you should not interrupt. You should not interrupt what? You should not interrupt your Shmonesra either for Kedusha, or should you interrupt your Shmonesra for Modim. This is his conclusion. Of course, I mean, we follow this in general, but I'm going to take now the Tosfos with you, and we'll see that Tosfos has a different approach to this question. Okay? All right, so let's take a look at that great big Tosfos. As I say, I'll do the first part of it, because there's a great deal of it that, you know, applies to other things. We'll take a look. We'll see how it goes, okay? Okay. All right. All right. I've already, explained it the way Rashi said it, okay? So, let's take a look. Of course, just one point, with Rashi. Why does Rashi say, in reference to the statement that we had first, in the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in the case of our opponents, that
to motive.
Why motive? So he says, what is our custom to motive? In those days, apparently, they were accustomed, that is, in the days when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, the chances were that they actually fell on their knees and they bowed their heads. I mean, we do it symbolically by bending our knee and bowing our head. Of course, the questions, what all of us are doing when we're sitting at the motive, if we wanted to be a little bit stricter in our own behavior, we should really be standing for that, or stand for the entire Chazoros HaShas, the way, many people do in yeshivas and in certain congregations and so on, okay? But at any rate, even if we're seated, we symbolically, what do? We we make a gesture of bending our knee and bowing our head, when we recite, okay? So this is the basic thing. In other words, we are showing the fact that we are prostrating ourselves symbolically before the Rabbeinu Shalom and saying, thank you, Meidim Anachloch, we give thanksgiving to you, for all the miracles that happened to us, the fact that we have a gift of life, and the little miracles that happened to us day in and day out, morning, noon, and night. Okay, so this is the basic reason. So, in other words, if the entire congregation is bending their knee and bowing their head symbolically before the Rabbeinu Shalom, we shouldn't be sticking out like a sore thumb and not doing it together with the congregation. That's the reason why he said then, if you see you can't make it before Modim, wait with the Yor Shmonesra until Modim, say it with the congregation, and then after that, you can start it the same. Right. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, let's take a look at Tosfos on the top over there where it says, actually, Yigish Lefzibu L'Modim. Okay. The Talmud, what is the reason? So, of course, the reason was already mentioned by Rashi. Namely, because he has to bow together with the congregation. So that he should not appear as someone who is a kofer, in other words, a heretic, a denier, denier of the one to whom the congregation is actually prostrating itself, bowing to him. Okay? If you don't do it, it seems that you refuse to join the congregation acknowledging God's sovereignty when we perform this act. Okay? The Shapir Dami, Kevon, and this says Tosfos that this is the right thing. Kevon Shehu Mishtachem Chaveiro, right? Inasmuch as he then prostrates himself together with his companions. Now, Tosfos as he says, Avola in Gemara Pesikale Kikai Hekafen. But the Gemara itself does not paskin in this way, because what did we say? We said at the very end over here that nevertheless, Mihos, right? If you're in the middle of Shmonesra, don't interrupt Shmonesra either for
Kedusha
or for Modim. This is what we said. So the Pesach of the Gemara, according to Tosfos, is actually not in accordance with these two statements that we have. Okay? So that's the first thing that Tosfos points out. Aval ein nirem ishum demonim rabbonon nokat. Hofi. Now, Tosfos is unhappy with this. Why is Tosfos unhappy with the whole concept, even though actually it's a law? If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, it says, if you can't, catch up to Meidim, don't stop. Okay? Nevertheless, in spite of the fact that we said the Gemara doesn't paskin this way, but still, you'll find it written in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. And he says, I'm not happy, he says, with this, for the simple reason that Maidim Derabbanan, in other words, what we say, you know, the Maidim Anachdalah, that we repeat, right. You know, at that particular point, he says, it doesn't really have the sanctity that the original Maidim has in the Shemoneh Esrei. This is his point. Matter of fact, the Gemara in Sota has a discussion as to what should the congregation be saying when the Chazan repeats Maidim. Okay? And so they give all kinds of suggestions, etc., etc. You know the text that we have, but not the complete text. You take a look and you see that the text is divided. This one says up to this point, another one adds something else, the third one says something else. What we have done is to combine all these opinions into one thing so that we have the whole composite, right, wait a minute, we'll love to make all the authorities happy. This is what we do, okay? But obviously, what is the ikar? The ikar is the maidim that we recite when we say the Shtetl Shmoneh Esrei, or that the Chazan should be saying when he repeats the Shmoneh Esrei. This is why I try to tell the Chazonim, I mean, when they get up over there, that they really should say the entire maidim aloud and not, you know, say maidim anachdalah, hatov ki lechol rachamecha. I once thought, I hate to say it, all right.
Don't say it.
I'll say it about somebody in the other show, okay? I don't want to have to say it about a similar case that we had with a cousin who was here for many years too. That he told the boy that, you know, you say wait a minute, you don't have to say anything else. Say I don't. You know, they were teaching them what they should say aloud, and it wasn't right. When I started to teach the kids, I had to inherit these kids. I said, I'm sorry, but you have to learn how to say the entire Maidim, not right. The half of a Maidim, or a quarter of a Maidim, and so on. Okay.
How many of our Dabbas do
but, you know, the Chazan in Bethel, when he used to teach kids the Sage Manessa, they did away with it a long time ago, by the way. But
repeating,
I remember a time.
Repeating it.
Yeah, right, repeating Shmanessa. There was a time when they were more traditional in their Dabbas.
Yeah.
Goes back maybe, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Let's say 30 years ago, okay? 30 years ago, they were a little bit more traditional in Bethel before every new will-o'-the-wisp, you know, came and they changed the whole business. So he told, they used to train kids for Daven Musaf in those days. So occasionally a family would turn to me and, you know, I taught them the whole modem that this is the right way to do it. So the cantor there came back and he says, what do you mean? You're only supposed to say as the cantor, Modem and Avdullah, Hato. That's it. Not supposed to say anything else. I mean, this is Amaratzis. And, you know, Amaratzis become sanctified.
You're not talking about the old cantor there.
Huh?
You're not talking about the old cantor there.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. He's been cantor ever since I've been in Springfield, you know. Okay. You know, but we had a similar cantor over here who also, I said to him, please. Should say the whole thing. Said, "Yeah, you're right." He said, and then he persisted in doing it. Okay, it happens. That's all my fault. Okay. So at any rate, what Taisbus is now saying is, you know, I'm a little bit surprised for the simple reason he says that we don't find that the Maidim Derabbanan, what we recite, really plays that important a role as the original Maidim, you know, that we recite when we say the Shtetl Shmoneh Esrei. So that therefore he now brings the case of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam Yeragil, he says, Rabbeinu Tam was accustomed that the Shehoyim is followed by Yochim, that when he would daven for himself, when the Chazam reached Maidim, and of course, actually, Rabbeinu Tam at this point was still, let's say, in the middle of his own Shmoneh Esrei. So what did he do? So he says, Hoya Korea im Hakohol Balei Amira Klal. He would bend his knees together with the congregation at the point when the Chazam reached Maidim without saying anything at that point. In other words, he didn't interrupt to say Maidim Anachdun Loch and then, you know, Shmakalein or whatever it is that he was saying, but he simply bent his knees symbolically together with the congregation. This is what Rabbeinu Tam did, okay? V'davka b'emtza bracha. Okay. But, and this is when he was still in the middle of a bracha. Avol b'seif bracha, lo. But, at the end of a bracha, he would not bend his knee. wouldn't. Why not? The Omar, the common, because we say a little further on in the text, not before, but you know, later on when we get to the next chapter, the Osir Lishkais Besaitko Bracha Bracha, that it is prohibited to bow down at the end of each and every bracha, right? Except for what? Except for those places where the Chachomim said, this is where you have to do it. Namely, right. Always, where you do it at the beginning, and you know, more Chatur Hashem Magen Avraham, these two bracha, you know, and Modim, and you know, Hatov Shivcho Kol Elohim. Those are the only four places where you should do it, and you should do it any other place, okay?
Only four places.
That's right. Just four places that we bad our knee and bow our head at this particular point. Mihu, however, lechatchila in laseiskein. However, to begin with, you shouldn't be doing it k'damash rachamim, as it says over here. In other words, what he's saying is, at this point, that what Tosfos is saying, he says, to begin with, if you see that you can't get to this point, then wait with your own private Shemoneh Esrei until you get to it. If you are, however, already in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and the chazan gets to Moedim, if you are in the middle of a bracha, then you can bend your knee to show that, you know, you're in sync with the congregation, okay? But if you're at the conclusion of bracha, you're saying Baruch HaKvod Hashem, don't do it, because you're only allowed to do it in those places where it is mandatory to do so. And don't do it, it's not optional. In other words, it's a case of mandatory in these four places, and don't do it otherwise, okay? All right, the course of Rashi Basuko, now he brings something else.
Where are you?
Mihu l'chatkid en la'seis kein, we said that, but to begin with, you know, don't do this practice of what Rabbeinu Tam did, namely just the Ben Yedin, the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. If to begin with, you know, you see that they're already so far ahead in the Chazoros Hashatz, you know, the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, then don't begin with the silent Shemoneh Esrei until they're completed, and then you do it, okay? All right, now... Because of Rashi, you see where I am over there in Tosfos. All right, Rashi wrote, he says in Sukkim, the Gemara Sukkim Perek Lulav HaGozel, he says the other one is Talim. If a person is saying Shemoneh Esrei, the Shomam Epi HaChazon Kaddish O Kedusha, and he hears from the Chazon that the Chazon is saying Kaddish or Kedusha, Einu Yochel HaHafsik V'La Neisim HaTzivah, then he's not permitted to interrupt and answer together with the congregation. Elo Yishtot, but rather he should be silent, beyond in the art, and he should wait a little while. In other words, he'll wait until they have finished, let's say the Kedusha, or wait until they finish the Kaddish. Wait a few moments. Why? Because it's a principle that we had several times that we discussed, that if you listen, it's a response as if you were actually saying it. So if you listen to it, you know, of course, with the Kavanah, don't interrupt what you're saying, but, you know, have in mind that you would like to fulfill, so to speak, you know, either the response to Kaddish or the response to Kedusha.
So in other words, you're supposed to stop wherever
right.
you are and
right.
wait till Kedusha is over and have it in mind that you're saying, like you're saying, Kedusha.
Right, right. So this is, okay...
That's what
Tosfos
says.
Yeah, Tosfos is saying that. However, we'll see that Tosfos also argues against the athlete.
He argues against himself.
The Yeshlomar. So, but there are those who say, Lechatchila in Lasses came. To begin with, don't do this way. Why? Because Kaniya Chashivot Fei Hido Mitzvah. Because saying the words aloud is considered more Hido Mitzvah. In other words, fulfilling the mitzvah with great. Kavona and everything else, then you know, just to be silent doing. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there is a difference between performing a mitzvah, let's say, shall we say, mechanically, or just to get by, and performing a mitzvah, as we would say, with hidur mitzvah. In other words, we want to do it, you know, with all our pitchukas, and with our whole heart, with kavona and everything else, and so on. Okay? So he says, to begin with, then don't, because you should really say aloud these things, okay? Rabbeinu Tam, Vari, Rabbeinu Tam and Ri, was a great rabbi by the name of Rabbi Yehuda, not in the Talmud, but this is the Tosfos, okay? Or you Omrim, and they would say, the Ad Rabbah, on the contrary, he says, If we say that the principle is that one who listens is the one who said it, then heavy have sokhim sheisek. Then in that particular case, it's going to be an interruption in your davening if you are silent. So in other words, they say, don't be silent, according to these authorities. Understand? So they are disagreeing with this practice. So now comes Tesis and says, and we call mocking, but nevertheless, the minhag of the population is people who are now in the, you know, they have the minhag, lishtoik, right? To be silent, vilishmaya, and to listen to either the, you know, the kedusha or the kaddish. The godol haminhag, he says. And it's a great minhag, right? In other words, don't, you know, if it's a minhag, this is an important minhag. It's not something, you know, you can have a minhag shtus, as we say, you know, a minhag which is based upon error, it's based upon silliness or something like that. It's a minhag shtus. But he says, this is not, this is a minhag godol. People are showing their respect, you know, for the kedusha and everything else by doing so. And so therefore, we should not consider it, you know, interrupting our own prayer if we are silent during these particular passages. And this is the minute. Okay. Now I'm going to skip the rest of it, so, because of the fact there's a great deal over here that goes, which doesn't go into it, but it's very interesting. Unless you want to hear the rest of the tasteless. It's a very big tasteless.
What is it?
Well, it deals with different things. All right, let's tackle it, okay? Now he see now takes this close to Yerushalmi. He says, Yerushalmi, you know, the Gemara that we study, we call the Bavli, okay?
Right.
But there's also a Gemara Yerushalmi, and of course there's a Gemara Brachos there too, and there they have, you know, other authorities who are quoted, or they have other opinions that are quoted that are not quoted over here in the Bavli, okay? So he says, Yerushalmi, Peretzkodes HaShachar, there in you know, in the fourth chapter in the Yerushalmi, it's called Omar Lehispalil Uvom and so on Hispalil in Busa. There it says that if a person comes and he finds that the congregation is davening Busa, Imhoya Yodea Shem Hispalil Legrimer Ashle Yaschul Shatz. So if he knows that he can say Shmanesra, that is, he can say Musa, right, and complete it before the Chazan begins his repetition, Kedela Anais Amein, in order to answer Amein, and Mispalel, then he should say Ishbenesra. Im Lav, Lo Yispalel, but if not, then he should. So, now the question is, Be'ez Amein Omru? What Amein are they talking about?
Right.
Okay.
It's only one at the beginning or the end.
Right. So, it says, Plige Be'etche Amorai. So, there's an argument between two Amorai, in other words, two, you know, Talmudic authorities. Chadoma the Omein Sheloela Kodesh. One of them says, this is the Omein which follows Hoela Kodesh. Chadoma the Omein Shel Shomer Tefillah. And the other one said, it's the Omein that we have to say after Shomer Tefillah, you know, the end of the Shema Tefillah. Okay? Below Pligin. So now, Taisma says, quoting, I guess, Yerushalmi, it says that in reality there is no difference of opinion between these two. Why? Because Kam Bechoil and Kam Bishabbos. In other words, the person who says about answering Omein to Shomea Tefillah, this would be for what Shvanesra? The Vachadik Shvanesra. And the other one who says, you know, that answering Omein for Shabbos, so this will be Hokei LaKodesh, because obviously Shomei Tefillah is not part of the Shabbos Tikkun Davening. Alright. So that, yeah. Kam Bechol Shem Kam and Shabbos, right, you are right. And the Hoder Aminu, the Omein Shel Shomei Tefillah is Hanim Bechol. And, you know, where we said, you know, that the Omein that follows Shomei Tefillah, this is, of course, is for the weekday. So the Chach Yeshli Zoher. Therefore, we have to be very careful. La nos omein, to answer omein, biho el hakodosh, right? When the chazan says el hakodosh, we have to be very careful that we answer omein. You know, not sit down and start to talk to our neighbor before we get to it, right? The gam la nos omein shvent tefillah. And likewise, the same thing applies to shemayat tefillah, that we should be very careful to say omein, since these authorities say that you should be very careful to say omein, both to Hokei LaKodesh and also Shemei Tefillah. So don't, you know, indulge in idle conversations, but concentrate on saying it. Umitoch Yerushalmi, and from this Yerushalmi says, Mashma, we surmise, Shehoi Regidin Lama Yutkesh Brochosh Lemus the Musaf Shekhov. Kegon Barosh Chodesh of a Cholomay. Now, this is interesting. It says, we surmise from this passage in Yerushalmi that what? That they were accustomed that when you said Musaf and Avocha Dikatov, like for example today, right, Rish Chodesh, or Cholomay Yontif, okay, that they didn't say the Musaf such as what we say, you know, we have a separate Musaf for Rish Chodesh, a Yontif Dikat, so to speak, right, the Rish Chodesh Dikat Musaf, and we also have, of course, on Cholomay, we recite the regular Yontif Dikat Musaf. So apparently, in those days, in Eretz Yisrael, the custom was not to do so, but instead they would daven Shemoneh Esrei, but they would daven the second time, you see. So that was the Musaf. Musaf was an additional.
They
repeated the Shemoneh Esrei a second time, exactly.
The
Shemoneh Esrei, exactly. Remember, this reminds of what we had on the previous page, where we learned to din towards the bottom of the page, the last thing that we did 2 weeks ago, that what happens on a Friday night. You're starting to say Adochinun Das. So what is the din in that case? Should you immediately stop and continue with, you know, the Shemoneh Esrei for Shabbos?
Are you finished?
So we learned that the din is no, you have to complete up to Bochat Barashem Chinun Hadoas, and then you go on to the Shabbos Dikat Shemoneh.
You finish it.
Why? Because we learned that in reality, originally the idea was that they davened the full Shemoneh Esrei even on Shabbos. But then the Rabbanan came and they didn't want to put an additional burden upon the Tzibur. And so therefore, what did they do? They shortened the Shemoneh Esrei for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Of course, the Was were so used to it, but even in the time of the Gemara, you see, they already, or in the time of the Mishnah, that they referred to that bracha in the middle as Kedushas Hayom, the bracha in which we speak about the sanctity of the day. So we have to be talking about an earlier period in the development of, you know, the davening before that, okay?
You're talking like the way they say the prophet collects the Shabbos and so on.
Yeah, right. That's called Kedushas HaYom. Mm-hmm. Or the same thing, the Kaddish Yisrael V'Rosh HaKadoshim, as we say today, okay? So that's called Kedushas HaYom. So, apparently, Tosfos says, in earlier days, in Eretz Yisrael, they were in the custom to say the regular Avocha Dikat Shemoneh Esrei is a Musaf, if it were the weekday. Okay? So, Lachach Yeshli Zoyer, so if that's the case, then you have to be careful, La'neisamim Bo'ila Kodesh, V'gam La'neisamim Shemit Tzvila. That's why you would have to be careful to answer Amen both to Ela Kodesh and to Shemit Tzvila. Okay? U'metoicha Yerushalmi, and from this Yerushalmi, Mashma, we learn that they were accustomed to say the full Bokha Dikat Shemoneh Esrei, the Musaf shall call in any Musaf that occurred during the weekday. However, we, Anan Sam Chinon, we rely upon that which we find in Gemara in the next chapter, because Omar, who said, Tamane Srei Tikun, Shasrei Lotikun. The sages ordained that we should say 18 brachas in between and not to say 19 brachas. All right, now of course I don't have to tell you there, we're going to learn. So how come that we have 13 brachas in the middle and not 12 brachas? Mm-hmm. So the opinion that they give over there is because they decided to add one additional one. But in reality, there are other versions, you know, that there's have, for example, the Yerushalayim Yirchu and the Tzemach David as one bracha instead of as two separate brachas. So there is, you know, a different opinion as to what, but that's the way the Bavli understood it, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, what we're learning. Okay. Mm-hmm. At any rate, yeah. Umashonu Mimaneinu. So now he brings a different thing. You know, when the Chazan on the Tanis Tzibur, when does he say Aneinu? We say it in the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei in Shemiyat Tfilah, you remember, right?
He says it
but he says it's a separate bracha. then go el rofe, right? And between, you know, Geir Israel and Foreno, okay? So he says, lo kasha. He says, this is not a kasha. She'enu ela l'shatz. Why? Because this is only said by the Shliach Tzibur, by the Chazan. About Yochid, but you know, the individual, when he says, Shmanesu is kaita lo v'shamei tefillah, he includes it in the bracha v'shamei tefillah. V'yoid. Now something else. Emeharav Reb Chaim, is a certain, also a great authority in the time and place, was by name Reb Chaim. It says the Isa b'Tosefta. So take a look in the Tosefta, and it says the head yours specifically kimin hogim, according to the way our men hogim. The kom are awesome, because it says over there yomim sheyesh behem korban musaf. Those days which have a korban musaf can go in mishchedesh v'chalamoid, right? Those days which have, in other words, those days upon which on the Beis HaMikdash they would offer additional sacrifices such as on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed Yontif. So there, what it was the din, Arvis v'Shachris, then for Ma'ariv and for Shachris, Mispale Yudchei Shleimus, you say the regular Shmonesra, right? The Omer Me'ein Hu Amoira, and then he also says something connected with the event that we are celebrating, Ba'aveda and Ritzei. In other words, what do we call it? This is what we call Yalaviyove, right? So you have to say, you know, Yalaviyove in Ritzei. The Imleomar, and what happens if you haven't said it? So Machzir and Osa. Then you have to repeat the Shmoneh. However, I have to tell you that this applies to Chol HaMoed.
Oh.
In the morning and at night, the Arvis also, okay, and also to Mincha. But the din, as far as Rosh Chodesh is concerned, is a little different. We'll learn tomorrow when we get to the next chapter. That there, the din is that Ma'ariv of Rosh Chodesh, if you forgot to say Yalav Yovel, you don't have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei. Right. And that applies not only to the first night Rosh Chodesh, but also to the Shmoneh Esrei of the second night Rosh Chodesh.
Is that true also on the benching?
The benching is a different din, but you're right, that on Rosh Chodesh, you wouldn't have to repeat, but at the same time, if you catch yourself,
you go back.
Before Bnei V'Rachmo of Yerushalayim, then there's a separate ending, right? There's a separate brach over there that, you know, you Mekarish Yisrael Rosh Chodeshim that you read at that particular point. So in complete Siddurim, you know, you can find these alternate brachas that we find in case we forgot on Shabbos or Shredish or Chol HaMoed and so on, you know, to recite the special paragraph in the text that we say in those days. But you know that Tosefta says that when it comes to Musafim it's Palel Sheva. Then in that case, he davens what? The seven brachas. In other words, meaning, you know, the first three, the last three, and, you know, the Rosh Chodesh, so in the middle, right? Or the one for, you know, Atav HaChatonim and so on, that we say on Yom. Okay? The Yomei Kedushas Hayom Be'emsan. You have to say the Kedushas Hayom, this bracha that I mentioned, you know, that ends Baruch HaTshoah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, the blank blank, whatever it is, right? So this is the bracha that we say in the middle. Rishalmi name Yeshlom et Hosefetu. Now he says that maybe Rishalmi too is making a mistake, that is, some scribe had copied the wrong idea, right? Below Gosin and Shal Musa, and he should not have said Shal Musa. Elabon and Shom is following, but only that if a person comes and finds that the Edom is not Mishmanesa, right, and forget about Musa. So Mashmi Rishon, Perak Mishamay, say the Gam Zuha Memor Ksu Rishon. Why? Because we find that this version is written also in Rishon, in the third chapter. The Lo Yiskir Shal Musaf Kon, the word Musaf didn't appear over there. So as we can see, it's interesting to see how the davening, you know, was formulated to begin with, that originally they davened a Bokha de Gishman Esra, but then they wanted to have something special, you know, for the day. And so for Musaf, instead of davening the Shmoneh Esrei, as may have been the original practice, it became, you know, to have what we call Kedushas Hayom. And the same thing, of course, developed as far as davening for Shabbos and Yom Tov and so on, that we say Kedushas Hayom instead of the complete Shmoneh Esrei. Shemineser.
Then you say, so they said the Brachah Dikra Shemineser as in place of the Musaf that we use today.
Correct. Okay. Now, the little Tosfos at the bottom is really, I'm jumping ahead.
So what did they say on Shabbos? They repeated it again.
What?
If they were davening on Yom Tov.
No, on Yom Tov, no. The custom became, you know, to say the little part, what we do, Atav HaChatanu or Atav HaKidashta. Yeah, we say Atav HaChatanu.
You're right.
Okay.
But for Musaf, they were saying the Brachah Dikra Shemineser.
Are we talking about what?
Talking about Yom Tov or Chodesh.
All right, so probably originally it was. Certainly this was true, according to the Rishalmi, of a, you know, a Rish Chedesh or a Chalamayit.
Chalamayit, yeah.
Okay. And as we saw, it was also true about Shabbos that they decided, you know, not to burden the congregation with all the middle part, but instead they created the brachas, you know, such as we say it today, of Kedusha Sayyar. Yeah. Okay. I just want to do the little tasters at the bottom, we'll call it an evening tonight.
Okay.
Although it's sort of running ahead slightly, but it completes the sinyan. It says, Ein Yochim is Pele Kedusha. An individual by himself does not recite Kedusha. But Ein Halochim, this is the din, that in other words, if you're davening by yourself, Shtidush Menesra,
you don't say.
Right? You don't say Kedusha. Avol HaMispalel Yudches HaMachazon. However, what happens if you're saying Kedusha, if you're saying Shmonesra together with the Chazan? In other words, let's say that the Chazan begins and you say it along with him. What we say, you know, a halb, Heche Kedusha, okay? All right. Although even there's a difference. Some say that, you know, in chakras you should say it with him. Okay? But the mincha, you should wait until he is finished, and then you say, okay? Well, let's say you start together with the chazan, as they recommend that you do for chakras, okay? Then, in that case, the din is as follows. The sheyagia shats the kedusha. What happens when the chazan reaches kedusha? Then yomar mashaleach tzibur. Then in that case, he has to say together with the chazan, the kadesh, the kol hakedusha mishalach. And he has to complete the entire Kedusha together with him. In other words, our custom is that normally what happens, all right, the Chazan starts in the Kadesh, right?
Right.
Of course, we say it too. All right. Then we say Kodesh, 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 right? But what don't we say? We don't say the Masam Baruch from there, right? He says, we say Baruch Kodesh from Kemi, but we don't say Rei Kodesh Achor. The Chazan says it, okay? And then we complete with Gimlet, okay? This is our custom. All right. But what Tosfos is saying over here is that if you start the Shmonesra silently together with the Chazan when he is saying it aloud, then in that particular case, when he gets to the Kaddish, you have to say it together with the Chazan. And the Chol HaKedusha Meshalom, you have to say the complete Kedusha. No, Mesom Yumosom Ber Kemerum, Ber Kaved, and so on, you know, everything. And Yochel Yal Nesim HaTzibur. So he's permitted to do this together with the entire congregation because this, in this case, he's not being called a yochid. He's not being called an individual. He is still part of the congregation by doing this. We said before that an individual davens for himself can do it, but if you do it together with the chazan, then you are part of the congregation and you can say kedusha according to what Tosfos says. Okay, we shall stop at this point.
In other words, if you come in late,
yeah.
You
say the whole Kedusha, right? And by the way, that includes also, Tosfos didn't mention, but, right, it also includes saying the Dovah Dor together with the Chazan.
The Dovah Dor is part of Kedusha.
Correct. In other words, you say the Dovah Dor together with the Chazan, and then after, you know, you said together with him up to Kela Kodesh, then in that case, you continue silently
the
Yatofinit.
You're really saying with him as opposed to laying the congregation, say the other part.
Right. But you are part of the congregation in this way, says Tosfos.
But you're saying
even though you're an individual, right?
Really,
and normally the individual wouldn't say it, but here it is permitted to do it this way.
All right,
yeah.
I'm a little confused. You start off yourself with the chazan,
yeah. Right.
Everyone else is waiting the chazan to say,
doing the other
piece. Okay, right.
Yes, we are now on Daf Kaf Aleph Omid Beis. And if you have English numbers, it's 42. Which doesn't mean what Kaf Aleph is. Kaf Aleph means actually 21, but as you know, we have two sides, each one, okay? All right. I want to review first, pardon me, what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, very briefly in particular, because last week, most of the time, we paid attention to the Tosfos, and we were reading that, and we learned some important dinim from it. So I just want to review some of the dinim that we learned from the Tosfos, and then we'll review again the Gemara and continue with the new area. Okay. basically, all right, let me start again first with the text itself, and you'll see why it was brought up over here. The text that we've studied last week begins on the fourth line. Okay? Where it says, Omar Rav Huna said, Hanichnos leveis haknesses, somebody comes into a shul. Motzot tzibur shemispalim, he finds that the elam is davening shmonesra. This is what it means over here. Mispalim means, you know, just as tefillah means technically shmonesra in this case. So mispalim is the verb, the davening shmonesra. So, im yochol ahatzke v'ligmoyel ad shalo yagia shas v'modim yispalel. So Rav Huna says that if he can begin reciting Shmonesra by himself and catch up to that point before the chazan reaches modim anachdolach when he repeats, then in that case he should begin to daven. So at least, you know, part of the Shmonesra that he's saying at least part of the time together with the congregation itself. Okay? So Rav Huna is putting the stress over here, of course, upon modim. And he says, you know, that if you know that you can catch up, you know, you can complete your Shmonesra by the time that the chazan reaches modim in his repetition, then in that case, begin to daven Shmonesra. But, you know, if not, then in that particular case, he should not begin. Instead, he should wait until they've completed saying Shmonesra silently, and then he says it for himself. All right, so this is Rav Huna's statement. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, that's what that abbreviation over there means. You see that ratio Beis Lamed, that's Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Omar, he said, in Yochel Ahaska v'ligmer achelo yagia shas v'kedusha v'yispalim. He says that if he can begin Shmonesra and complete the Shmonesra by the time that the chazan reaches Kedusha, then in that case he's followed. Then he should daven, you know, the Shmonesra, just as everybody else is davening the Imlav, but if not, then all is followed. He should not daven. Okay? This is the starting point. Now I'm going to continue with the text for a little while, and then we'll go back again to summarize what we learned from the Tosfos last week. Okay? So the first thing that the Gemara wants to know at this particular point is, first of all, why is there a difference of opinion between the two statements? One is the statement of Rav Huna, which said that if you can reach modim by the time that the chazan gets over there, that is, if you can complete your Shmonesra by the time the chazan gets the modim, which of course I don't have to tell you is much further on in the davening, right? Then in that case you should do so. Whereas Rabbi Shua ben Levi stresses a much earlier point. He says that if you can finish Shmonesra by the time that the chazan gets to Kedusha, then you do it. If not, wait, of course, until afterwards. This is what he's saying. Okay? And they want to find out what is the theoretical difference between them. In other words, why is there a difference of opinion as to what point? So, this is what they say. They say, by komiflege, what is the point of difference between them? So Marsova Yochide Mekedusha, Marsova in Yochide Mekedusha. So he says that the first authority, of course, meaning Rav Huna in this particular case, is of the opinion that the individual can recite the Kedusha. Now what does he mean? What he means is that instead of saying, you know, the way we do it when we say it silently, Ato Kadosh, Ushimko Kadosh, and so on, right? Baruch Ato Hashem Okela Kodosh, he is of the opinion that even an individual can say Nekadosh Hashem Kobo Elom and Kadosh 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 and everything else and so on. This is his opinion, Rav Huna's opinion. That's why to him it wasn't of importance as to whether the individual came late would have time
to say Kedusha with the Yoilim, you know, by the time that the cantor has reached that point, or, you know, whoever's starting for the Omen, okay? Or not, because he says, look, as far as I'm concerned, the individual can say it, and therefore, presumably, he has already said it by the time that he reaches Modim. So this is his opinion, all right? Umar Sovar, but Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, the other authority, is of the opinion, Ein Yochid Eimer Kedusha. He says that the individual cannot recite Kedusha by himself. In other words, he cannot say Nekadosh Hashem Chobreilon. Okay? Now, to support his point of view, they now quote another authority. V'chein Umar Avoda Bar Avo, and likewise Rabbi Ada Bar Avo said, B'nayin Shein HaYochid Eimer Kedusha. How do we know that individual does not recite Kedusha by himself when he davens? Shenemar, because it is written, and this happens to be, you know, a pasuk in the book of Leviticus and Vayikra, it says over there, the Nikdashti Besoch B'nei Yisrael. God says, I will sanctify myself, or I will be sanctified, whichever translation you want to use, all right? Besoch in the midst of B'nei Yisrael. Now, the fact that it says in the midst of the children of Israel already implies that you have to have what? Not an individual, right? But there should be a kahal. There should be a congregation. Right. And he therefore derives the following, which becomes a standard halach. And what is it? It's called dovar, shebe kedusha. Everything that partakes of the nature of kedusha, of holiness, lo yehei poches me'asorah. It should not be in the presence of less than 10 people davening together. So as I say, this is a standard. Now, of course, what would that include? We already see that it includes the Kedusha, right? And naturally it includes several other things. As for example, Kaddish. We know that. Kaddish should be said only when you have a minyan present, okay? Times, believe me, it's heartbreaking. You come, let's say, to an unveiling, and nobody shows up over there except maybe two or three people or something like that. You would like to say a Kaddish, but you can't do it. You simply cannot. There are other things to say. You can say a eulogy, you can say a mole, you can say a kapitel of Caleb. These things you can say, but you cannot say Kaddish if you don't have a minion present over there.
You can't say Baruch Hu either.
Baruch Hu too requires also, you know, a minion. The reading of the Torah is another thing that requires a minion, and of course, Birkas Kohanim is another thing that requires it. We don't see the Birkas Kohanim so much over here, simply because of the fact that we restrict it only to those Yom Tovim, right? Well, it could also be Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, but to, you know, the major holidays, which are days which occur on a weekday, okay? But, you know, otherwise we don't do it. Good evening, good evening. How do you do? The Vada Kashrus meeting is in the library this evening. Okay, but of course you can always sit down for sit down and learn with us for a couple of minutes until you're ready. Okay, Harold. Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. So in Eretz Israel it's already a different story about the Birkas Kohanim. Particularly in Yerushalayim, but also in many other areas of Eretz Yisrael, the custom is that every day they daven. Daven for Shacharis, they daven for Musaf, and of course on a fast day, they may or may not daven to Mincha, but, you know, it still requires a minyan in order for the Kohanim to go to
Mincha. They daven the minyan? That's a Mincha?
Not ordinarily, but I'm talking about a type of tzibur they may. Yeah. There's a difference of opinion about that as to whether they do or not, okay? But it would depend upon what time of the day they do it. But for the others, there's no question. I mean, that the Shacharis and the Musaf, they go to Dukkan every single day. Yeah. Oh, yes. Matter of fact, during Chol HaMoed Pesach and Chol HaMoed Sukkot, they have one day when you have thousands of Kohanim going up to Dukkan over there. I was there at the Chol HaMoed Pesach when we went to Israel a year and a half ago, and believe me, can't get anywhere near the Kotel. We had to park way outside the walls of the old city and walk to get to the Kotel, and then it was mobbed. And not only that, I mean, when they finished one davening, then another gang was pushing to get in while we were trying to get out, you know.
But they all davened at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all do it at the same time because you have. Well, what happens is, you see, the Chazan has a mic. It's a weekday.
I see.
So since he has a mic, you know, he says Yivarechecho, so you know, have a thousand Kohanim, you know, saying Yivarechecho. So.
Some blessing you get.
Yes, a good thing. Believe me, it's a zechus, you know. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to be in Yerushalayim at that time. So,
at any time.
Yeah, absolutely. So at any rate, again, the duchening cannot take place unless a minyan is present. That's another thing, because all these are what we call the dovish hakedusha. Okay, whether you need a minyan, for example, for some other things which are considered dovish hakedusha, for example, a bris, a pidyon aben, technically, or even a marriage. Okay, technically, all these things could be conducted if you don't have a minyan. But nevertheless, the mitzvah is to try to have a minyan for every one of these things, because it still is in the nature of a dovah shem kedusha, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So that even for these occasions, we try to have a minyan message. All right. So we see then Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, then is, you know, he follows this opinion of Rav Ador bar Avo, who says that whenever it is a dovah shem kedusha, then you must have not less than 10 people who are participating. And my mashma, how did he derive this figure of 10? This is the question. And the fact, you know, that a Dovah Shebi Kedusha should not have less than 10. So he says, the funny Rabbi Nahai, Ahu Hadarach Tiyo Barabo, says, because we have learned that Rabbi Nahai, the brother of Rabbi Tiyo Barabo, said, Atsyo Toich Toich. He derives it from what we call a Gezerah Shabbat. Now, those of us who have been learning together for some time, we know what a Gezerah Shabbat is, but not everybody here has been learning so long together, so I have to explain. If you take a log, the Rabbi Yishmael that we recite, you know, before the Kaddish, take a look and see actually what does it say. So, you know, there are mentioned over there 13 different ways in which we can derive a teaching from the Torah. Okay? Okay? And the second one that's listed after the Kal Vachomer is Gezerah Shavah. So what is a Gezerah Shavah? Gezerah Shavah means that if you have a word in the Torah which applies in situation A and then a similar word in situation B, then what is true of A can also be true of B. It's a sort of a geometrical idea, okay? But it doesn't always work. Why doesn't it work? Because according to our Chachomim, a Gezerah Shavah is only applicable when a particular person has the tradition that this is a Gezerah Shavah. In other words, I can't simply say if the word S is over here and the word S is someplace else, that automatically I got a Gezerah Shavah. I would have to have a tradition from way, way back, you see, that the reason why S occurs here and S occurs over here is in order to teach us specifically, as I said, what is true in situation B is also true. It's true in what is true in situation A is true in situation B. So, not every time that we have a similar word does it, you know, is it a Gezerah Shavah? There has to be, as we say, a tradition of a Gezerah Shavah. So he had a tradition that, in this particular case, the word is toch. Toch means bits. Okay? As we said before, it's written over here, right? Atzi toch toch. It says ksir tocha. The verse that we've just quoted says what? Benikdashti b'sof in Israel. I will be sanctified in the midst, the sof, right, of the children of Israel. Look at ksir hasam. And in another pasuk, it's written, hibodlu mitokwe do hazos. Separate yourselves from the midst, mitoch, for Eidor Hazos. Okay? And there they use specifically the word Eidor, which means assembly or congregation. I have two remarks to make. First of all, this particular pasuk is actually in the story of Korach. When Korach mutinied against Moshe Rabbeinu and he organized a whole group of people, you know, who wanted to seize the leadership from Moshe and Aaron, So, you know, the Rabbeinu Shalalem, you know, told Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, that Korach, actually, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to God, you know, to punish Korach and so on. Let there be a miracle, all right? So then he said to the people of Israel, he bought them at Tokwe Doharohazos. Separate yourselves from this evil congregation, okay? And, of course, we know that Korach and his gang were many, many. So from there we see already that it is. But the truth of the matter is, that's because his Gezeirah Shavah is based upon the word Toch. Okay? And what does he want to do? He wants to show that the word Edar, which occurs in the second pasuk, relates to V'nikdashti, I will sanctify myself, in other words, the Dovish of Kedusha in the first pasuk. So this is the reason why he stresses this particular Gezeirah Shavah. However, the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings a different reason why we have 10. They bring it from a different Edar. They bring it from the fact that if we take a look at the story of the 12 spies that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Eretz Yisrael, okay? And what happened? Of course, they came back, but there were two, Joshua and Caleb, right, who gave a report saying that even though the difficulties are true, but nevertheless, if we have faith in God, we can go up and conquer. And then you had the 10 who said the land is beautiful, but we can never conquer them, and just, you know, we're just a bunch of locusts in comparison to the inhabitants of the land, who are like giants in our eyes and so on. Okay, so there it's written that you know, the Rabbeinu Shalalem says to Moshe, Ad Mosai Lo Edo Horo Hazos, how long will I put up with this evil congregation, with this evil community? And of course we know how many were there in the Edor.
10.
Right, there 10. Were 10. We know that. 10. So that this is where the Gemara and Sanhedrin derives the idea of 10.
10 with evil report.
Yeah, the 10 who came back with an evil report. But since they are called an Edor, so therefore from this we learn that an Edor has to be 10. At least 10 in number. All right, so this is how we get really the number 10, because from Nikdashti B'Sofen Israel and the other pasuk that we had, we really would not have had the idea. But he says, Malahalo Nasora Abkan Asor. Just as there were 10, and as you notice, there's a side note that raises exactly the same objection that I raised over there. Take a look on the left, you see?
Yeah.
It says, Tzorech Leimar, what it should have said over there is, V'asya Edo, and he also brings another Gezeirah Shavah from the word Edo, V'siv Admosai Lo Edo Hora HaZois, and Malahalon, and so on. So just as over there, in other words, there the evil congregation of time of the spies was Asorah, ten, so Afkan Asorah. Okay? But it says, but nevertheless, all these authorities are in agreement, Mihos, nevertheless, that Mifsach Leposik, don't interrupt Shmonesra. In other words, if you have already started Shmonesra, then in that case, don't interrupt your Shmonesra until you are finished with it, even for what?
For Kedusha
or for Motiv. Okay? So this is what we learned from the text. Then we started to take a look at the Tosfos, and of course Tosfos struggles, you know, with some of the ideas. All right, and they bring, for example, first of all, Tosfos says that if you know that you can, you know, finish before Kedusha, okay, fine. But if you know that you can't do it, it would be best to wait. However, all right. But then they also bring other minhagim. Minhag number one is the fact that there are people who, if they're in the middle of Shmonesra, what happens? You know, let's say, you know, the chazan reaches Kedusha, then in that case, they remain silent through the Kedusha, and then they resume after the chazan has finished, all right? So they bring it, they're not happy with this particular custom, because they say this contradicts another teaching, and the other, you know, and that teaching said that Shomeya Ka'ena. In other words, if you listen with the intention of fulfillment, then it's as if you had said it. Okay? That in itself, you know, presents all kinds of problems. But since there is such a principle, and there are many authorities who agree to it, that Shomeya Ka'ena, course, in many cases, it would be true for us too, as for example. If a person doesn't know how to daven Be'ivrit. All right, granted, he's permitted to say Shemoneh Esrei in whatever language he understands, okay? But nevertheless, what is our desire at all times? The person learn how to daven in the Hebrew. Exactly, okay? So, if he hears the davening from the chazan, and he listens attentively to every word, then in that case he can fulfill it by listening, and of course by answering Amen, you see, okay? So that is definitely, a din. Same thing would be true, for example, if you have a group of people, and let's say you want to make Kiddush. Now, everybody theoretically can make Kiddush for themselves, no question about that. But nevertheless, it's also considered, you know, that there's another principle operative, and that is Berovam Hadras Melech. In other words, where you have a multitude, there we sense the beauty of God the King. And so therefore, one person can recite Kiddush for everyone, and this again would be a case of Shemaya Shaina. In other words, you listen to it and you answer Amen, it's as if you had actually recited the Kiddush.
Is it permitted to have everybody take Kiddush if they want to?
If everybody wants to, sure, there's no law against
well,
it.
You want to get a child that's used to saying Kiddush, I'm sorry.
I trained my children from the time that they were very young to recite Kiddush. As soon as they could recite it, yes. Because I believe that chinuch, you know, to train children that they should be able to follow up with the mitzvahs is very important. And I'm happy to say that my sons are doing exactly the same thing. They're training their sons in turn to do it. So it's very, very important. And it's not a bracha levatola. It's a very important thing, you know, to try to train your children to observe Yiddishkeit to the best of their ability at an early age, if you possibly can. Of course, it depends on the child's understanding, the child's background, and so on. But if you can do it, by all means.
Can you say Kiddush at home after you've been in the...
Okay, the answer is yes. Yes.
No,
it's not a bracha levatola if you want to recite Kiddush again. Why? Because we have another statement which says, Ein Kiddush ela b'mekom seuda, which means that Kiddush should be recited in the place where you eat the meal. Okay? The question is only, however, if all that you had to eat at the Kiddush is just a piece of herring and nothing else, then in that case there's no question that you should make Kiddush when you get home. Because you haven't eaten the meal, it's not a seuda. But if they serve a royal repast for some of the kiddushes that we serve here at Kedima on the Shabbos morning, so in that particular case, you might be yotzi with having heard the kiddush over there, and then when you go home, you make a motzi and you complete the meal that way.
I think you were referring
as far
to
as Friday night is concerned, there's no question. There, absolutely, you should recite kiddush at home.
That's
I'm only thinking in terms of the kiddush that you have on the Shabbos morning. Yeah, no question. There, definitely. And why do we recite Kiddush Friday night at our services? So the answer is because once upon a time, people used to sleep. You know, let's say wanderers would come from one place to another, and so for Shabbos they'd stay. Where did they stay? They stayed in the shul, and presumably they had something to eat over there too. And so therefore the custom arose to make Kiddush for them. In America, and in Western Europe, why do we do it? Because we're also aware that unfortunately there are all too many families who don't say Kiddush at home. So at least let them hear a Kiddush and maybe they'll be inspired to make Kiddush. Okay. But by the same token, you know, there are many communities where they know everybody there is going to recite Kiddush at home, then they simply dispense with the Kiddush. And even we have the practice, for example, that on the first two nights of Pesach,
we don't
recite Kiddush and Shul, because presumably every Jew is going to go home and make a Seder and recite Kiddush, you know, as part of the Seder.
What?
Right, yeah. Right. So, that's the story. But no question. I mean, Friday night, definitely you should make Kiddush at home. Yeah.
If you start the Shemoneh Esrei with the Chazan, who is just starting to repeat.
Right. Okay, that's another thing.
That's the question.
Right, right.
You go with him and you say your
Kiddush. Okay. Right. This is a question that we also learned last week in Pesach. We discussed it, okay? And basically, there are two approaches to this, okay? Approach number one would be, for example, in the morning. In the morning, there's no question that if you have finished, you know, Krishna, and the bracha which follows Kolal Yisrael, then in that case, and you know, in the chazan, the congregation has in the meantime finished the silent Shemoneh Esrei, right? And the chazan is ready to begin aloud. You should definitely say together with the chazan and do the complete kiddusha together with him, the kadesh and the chorus of the yamar, kadosh, 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 and bor kadosh, and komo, etc. You understand? You say all the things, and you also say ledor vador nagid godlecho, right through baruch atah Hashem hokel hakadosh, and then you say the rest of it silently. Okay?
But you start at the very beginning with
you should start together with the chasim, right? The mincha, if you come in late, you haven't had a chance, you could do that, or you could do the other custom that we observe, which is to wait until after Kedusha. You say Kedusha first, and then you first say it. So this is what we do with the Hef Kedusha to Mincha. I mean, this is our normal procedure, that you wait until, you know, everybody says Kedusha, and then after the Chazan says Baruch Atah Hashem Kela Kadosh, and then he starts in to say silently. So you start from the beginning, the Shemoneh Esrei, and just continue straight, so that we have both of these customs. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Then, yeah, this is essentially what we learned also at the very bottom in the Tosfos. Did that side ever work or what?
Yeah, no, it doesn't work.
Am I being recorded now for posterity?
Sure.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay.
Oh, did you see that little red light?
Yeah, right. Okay. The last place was over there, Ein Yochid Mispalel Kedusha, where it says, you know, that the private individual cannot recite Kedusha. V'chein halacha, this is talking the halacha, that you don't do it. Avol, ha-mispalel yudches ma-chazen. If you daven Shemoneh Esrei with the chazen, v'kshayagia shat the Kedusha, and so when the chazan gets up to kedusha, then yomarim ashleich tzivur nekadesh v'chol hakedusha mishalim, so that he has to say nekadesh together with the chazan and complete the entire kedusha together with the chazan, you know, including the masam baruch yomeru and the very kochecho. You say everything. So yokolane simhat tzivur the ein zekuri yochid. This he's permitted to do because in this way he is not acting as an individual apart from the congregation, but he's still part of the congregation. That's why he could do it. Alright, so now we'll get back to our text. Alright, we've already determined then what is the story as far as if you can reach Kedusha or if you can reach Modim. But if you see you can't do either of them, then don't start Shemoneh Esrei, wait until everything else. Okay, why? Because as we said, the individual does not recite Kedusha in spite of the opinion, you know, of Rav Huna. Okay. All right. Now the next question that they ask is follows. Ibolahu, the question was now raised, Mahu lahafsik liyehei shmo hagadol mevorot? How about interrupting your silent Shemoneh Esrei in order to answer? And you notice that over here the Kaddish is written not in the Aramaic, but it's written over here in the Hebrew. Yehei Shmo HaGadol Mevorach is of course what we say in Aramaic. Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach, you say. Alright, so it's exactly the same thing. So the question that they want to know is, can you interrupt your silent Shemoneh Esrei in order to answer Yehei Shmei Rabbah? That's the question. Okay? So, Kiyosa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Rav Dimi was a wandering scholar. He lived in Babylonia, but he spent many years in Eretz Yisrael learning in the yeshivas over there. So that whenever he would go back to Babylonia on a visit, naturally they wanted to know, so tell me, what halacha did you learn? What teaching did you learn? And so on. So they called him very often that, you know, when Rav Dimi came, in other words, when he came from Israel to Babylonia, Omar Rav Yehuda, so he said that Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Talmidei the Rabbi Yochanan, Amre, these two authorities, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, who were pupils of Rabbi Yochanan, they said, Lakol ein mafsikin, we do not interrupt Shemoneh Esrei for anything, chutz bin Yehei Shmo HaGadol Mevorach, except for Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Sha'afilu oseik v'maseh me'kobach,
Because even if he were involved in so abstruse, so theoretic a discussion as how did God appear in the first chapter, as we read in, you know, the book of Yechezkel, the book of Ezekiel, we read it as Haftar on the first day of Shavuos, how Ezekiel had a vision of a chariot and wheels and all kinds of strange creatures and so on and so forth. And, you know, I don't have to tell you, this is not easy for us to understand. The Talmud in Sefta Chagigah urges that only a very, very mature person, one who is at least 35, 40, 45, should begin to try to discuss these things, because people younger than those ages are considered too immature to understand anything of these. So he said that even if you're engaged in studying something so deep, which required so much your attention, but nevertheless, if you hear somebody saying, you know, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavora, then you should also interrupt that and say it together with them. So all the more so, what would they say? They would say all the more so to interrupt Shmoneh Esrei in order to answer that, right?
No.
But you know what the Gemara says?
No.
V'les hilchaso kavosei. But the halacha does not follow these authorities. So in other words, don't interrupt your Shmoneh Esrei for anything. Neither for Kedusha, neither for Bodim, nor for Yehei Shmei Rabba. Okay. So now that brings me to one more din, which I have spoken about before. We have some very speedy davenings in our congregation.
And how?
First word and the last word.
Whatever.
Is that all they say, the first word and the last word?
Well, we don't know.
Only the Rabbanim Shalom knows that.
Right, right. We can't read their hearts the way the Rabbanim Shalom does. We learned yesterday in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which I quoted, you know, sitting over there, that the Rabbanim Shalom judges us on Rosh Hashanah because he has, you know, he is... He is the Baichin Kalal Bolis, right? He can look into our hearts and maybe no Koma say, and he can understand what we're doing. But, you know, we can't presume to judge other people. But we see, nevertheless, that they finish Menesra a lot faster than we do, okay? We're still in the middle of Menesra. All right, now let's say it happens then that they have already finished Menesra, and one of them is serving as the Chazan. And he's already, starting right at the Chazoras Hashatz. Okay? He comes up to Kedusha. Where are you? Alright, so as we learn from here, if you have not finished the Shmoneh Esrei,
you don't interrupt.
You don't interrupt. And even though Tosfos says, and the halacha follows, so Tosfos didn't like it, but they mention it, and actually it is accepted in the Shulchan Aruch as the din, that you could be silent, you could follow that minhag, you know, to be silent during the Kedusha, but nevertheless, essentially, the din is what we learned over here. Don't interrupt even for Kedusha. Okay? Don't interrupt the Shmoneh Esrei.
Even to be silent.
Right.
I don't follow. What does this mean? If you come in late and you don't feel that you can complete it by the Kedusha,
correct,
to begin?
Correct. So wait until after the Kedusha before you start into...
But what happens? What happens if it's Myrib?
All right, huh?
What if it's Myrib?
You don't have any repetition, so that's not a question of it. Okay.
You come in late.
You have another problem, though. I mean, after all, it's considered a mitzvah to answer Yehei Shmei Rabba also, right? But what are you going to do? Do you interrupt the Shmoneh Esrei in order to say Yehei Shmei Rabba? Don't do that either. That's what we're learning over here. The practical dinim, you see, that we derive from our text over here.
Well,
okay?
Beginning the Shmoneh Esrei, coming to the Kedusha, standing silent, and then continuing.
That's if we're already, let's say, halfway through the Shmoneh Esrei. Okay.
But
if it's first beginning, then you are permitted to start with the Chazan and say through Kedusha together with him.
And then continue on.
And then you continue silently the rest of it.
But in the previous instance, when you have begun and whatever, gotten to Yerushalayim, something like
Well, right. Okay.
And then the chazan begins the kedusha. Are we allowed to follow the protocol and remain silent during the kedusha?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because the Shulchan Aruch paskens that we can do that. We can follow this custom, even though, as I said, Tosfos, while it mentions it, didn't like it. Okay.
Right.
Of course, there's a problem with Shemei Kohen. Okay. But nevertheless, as I say, there are plenty of authorities who sanction that particular custom. All right.
So, jump sentences a little bit. What is the, after doing a repetition of the Shemin Esrei, nobody says Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo or all names?
They should.
They should.
They should. But I'm talking about if they've already said they're wrong.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, right, right. And they definitely should listen, and they should answer
amen.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm sorry again, I may have gotten a little confused. The last two things that we said, it wasn't clear to me whether we were now permitted to interrupt the thing, say, in Shnei Rabban or Rabban.
No.
Don't interrupt Shnei Rabban.
For anything.
For anything.
For anything, period.
Okay.
So, only if you could begin together with the chazan or something like that, but if you can't do it, you're in the middle of it, then don't interrupt. But what I simply wanted to add was one final note. That the Shemona Esrei technically ends with the Baruch Baruch HaTor Hashem and Vorech Esam HaYisur Vashalom. We've already learned many months ago that the L'chaim Nitzor was a private prayer which was introduced, and of course there was, we say it, because that's a very beautiful prayer, and it's as if it's part of the Shemona Esrei, although technically it has been added to the Shemona Esrei. The same thing with the, you know, Yehi Ratzon She'ibon HaBeis HaMikdash, it's the same thing, okay? These are private prayers that were added. Therefore, if you can finish Hamurech Hesamo Yisrael B'Shalom, and even better if you could say at that point Yehi Ratzon Nimreiti, then in that particular case you can say Kedusha at that point. So that you're excused then from the rest of it, from the kindness so and so.
You don't have to go back and say it.
You don't have to, no, because as private prayer, you don't have to repeat private prayer. Public prayer, yes, but not private prayer. Okay, so this is what it boils down.
So I ask another quick question.
Sure.
The same, the chazan is dominating. I've seen this only rare.
Yeah.
So don't plant the feet.
Yeah.
Planting of the feet is important, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, this they get again from the same vision.
And they're moving.
Oh, right.
So the idea of the, I think the vision of Malachim, that their feet are together, and therefore when you're praying to God and San Kavosh, you should have your feet together.
Right.
And Kedusha, particularly the sanctity of Kedusha is
right
that way.
Well, that and the Shemnes in general. In other words, we are emulating the Malachim.
Right.
And the vision of Yechezkel, as of which, you know, I alluded to just a few moments ago. So there it's written, right, Raglehem, Regel Yeshor, it says, in other words, their feet were perfectly straight,
right,
and so on. So that this is the reason why we do that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say it's a...
The three steps backwards, the three steps...
That's
forward.
Already a different thing. That
a
is based on... Yeah, that's a different custom. This is based on the fact that in entering the presence of a king, or in taking leave, you enter the presence of the king by taking three steps forward, okay, and then you bow down. And of course, the worst, the bowing is, you know, when we bend our knee and bow our head to Baruch HaTor, you know, to begin in Shemin Esrei. And the same thing, after you've completed Shemin Esrei, you're taking leave, and what would happen when you depart from the king? So again, you have to step back in order to do it right. So that this is the reason.
Matter of respect.
Right. Matter of showing respect for God. Yeah. Okay. Now we'll go into another inyan which we have already discussed a little bit before, but now they come back to it again. This is the question that we studied about a Baal Keri, a person who has a seminal omission, and we learned that Ezra HaSofer came and he said that the person who had a seminal omission should not be allowed to study Torah unless he has immersed himself in a mikvah. Okay, this was his ruling. Well, we'll see that not everybody was able to abide by this, and of course the halacha doesn't follow Ezra HaSofer anymore in this respect. Too tough. But nevertheless, what was behind Ezra HaSofer's reasoning, you see? And so that this is now what they're going to discuss over here. All right.
We go back for a moment to the Mishnah. The Mishnah on page Chof, Amud Beis, at the bottom over there, where we mention for the first time this business about the Balkeri, right? It says, Balkeri Maharher Belibo. When it comes to the Krishna, he should only think the words it said over there, right? But not recite them, not utter them. And he should not recite the brachas which precede the Shema, nor recite the brachas which follow the Shema. This is what we learned the first part of the Mishnah, okay? And then we learned that when it comes to food that we eat, then in that particular case, even the Balkeri has to recite what we call the Birkas HaMozon, he has to recite the grace after meals, but he does not recite the Inam Mevorech Lefonov. He doesn't recite the bracha before him. And Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, and he said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mevorech Lefnei Machrem. He says that you recite the brachas both before and after. So that this is now what they're asking about. Lemeimra. Are we to say the Kesova Rabbi Yehuda Balkeri Muta B'Divrei Torah? Are we then to come to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that a Balkeri, that a person who has had a seminal mission, is permitted to study Divrei Torah, and of course the implication is permitted to do so without having to go and immerse himself in the Mikvah, right? But Omar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, but then Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Menayim leBalkeri she'otza b'divrei Torah, how, you know, that Rabbi Shimon Levi said that a Balkeri is prohibited from studying words of Torah, Shene'emar, as it is written in the Torah, the Hodatom leBonecho, the Livnei Bonecho. It's written first, this happens to be a quotation in Parsha Eikah that we read, says, and you shall make them known to your children and to your children's children. Naturally, to make known what? To make known the words of Torah and the events that took place at Mount Sinai and so on and so forth. And what in the Somech lay. And then right after it mentions Yom Asher Amadatha, the day in which you stood before the Lord your God on Mount Sinai or in the Chorev, the day when God gave us the Aseres HaDibros. So, Ma Lahala, just as there, in other words, when it came to the revelation at Mount Sinai, Balei Kariyan Asurin, people who had a seminal omission were prohibited from taking part and listening to the Ten Commandments unless they had done what? Right. First of all, they had to separate themselves from their wives, it's written, right? For 3 days they had to separate themselves. And they also had to cleanse themselves, in other words, in the mikveh, and also cleanse even the garments as well, okay? So just as at Mount Sinai, then, the Bali Kriyan were prohibited from studying, you know, from hearing the words of Torah at that point. So Abkan, so likewise here, Balei Kriyan Atzurin. People who have this assembled mission are prohibited from studying Torah unless they first title themselves. Ve'ho Omar Rav Yosef. And we had another teaching of Rav Yosef that said, Afilu man delei dorish smuchin b'chol ha-Torah, the Mishnah Torah dorish. There is an opinion which says that if we have Pasuk A followed by Pasuk B, right, this is what we call smuchim. Smuchim means one right next to the other, nearby, literally, okay? So, there are those who follow the system of Dorshin smuchim. In other words, they do use the very fact that two texts are placed one next to the other to teach, to form a drasha, as we would say. In other words, to derive a teaching, so that obviously then the second verse must have a reference to the first one that's teaching us something about it. Okay? Other authorities disagree. They say the fact that two verses, one follows the other, does not necessarily mean that you learn a din in the second one from the first one. Correct. In other words, it doesn't necessarily follow that itself.